This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by Wild Alaskan Company. Healthy, affordable, convenient fish right to your door. Get $15 off with code WILD15. Nectar Sleep, the last mattress you'll ever need to buy. Get $100 off with code GWFIT100. Liquid Web, one of the top hosting providers around. Save $49 off all VPS plans with code BINGO49. Naked CBD, your reliable source for delicious, high-quality CBD. Get 20% off with code STRONG20. Defense Soap, the world's best soap for wrestlers, jiu-jitsu, and MMA athletes. Use code MMA Nuts for 15% off. Hey fans, MMA Nuts, episode 466.
466.
My name is Ingo Lego.
Back around with MMA Show. By my fans, for my fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous. Pause for effects. What's going on?
Oh, Matt.
What?
Just saying. You're showing some symptoms, sir. We may have to cancel the next few shows.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but I have face AIDS.
Damn it. How could you contract that?
It's the HIV, the HIV in some circles.
Is it the COVID?
Maybe.
You got COVID-19.
COVID virus.
Hey, if you're out
I'm
there.
Part werewolf, part and you're vampire. Like
in a place where they got lots of coronavirus, wash your hands.
Don't believe the hype. It'll all work out.
And your balls. Keep your balls clean. Keep your nose clean. Protect yourself at all times.
Yeah, that's usually a good option.
Right?
Intelligently defend yourself.
That's
you know,
right.
Expect the unexpected.
I believe the world has gone crazy, Matt.
And have they? Jesus Christ, I went grocery shopping, and what a fucking nightmare that was. Seeing ladies that are like 100 pounds in fuck-me boots with 3 to 4 inch high heels and 4 cases of water, and she's struggling. Because she's maybe 100 pounds and 5'8".
Fuck me boots?
Yeah. Wow. You can't push a cart when you're dressed to fuck.
Yeah.
Right? And do you really need 4 cases of water? They put a limit 5. And the only thing that pissed me off when I went grocery shopping, I had told you, I couldn't buy Kleenex brand Kleenexes. So I had to buy some generic bullshit. I like a soft Kleenex on my face. I don't even want the virus fighting kind because you're paying extra for bullshit. Who cares?
Just give me a nice Kleenex. You're not that particular about stuff, but apparently Kleenex.
I am very particular. It's like Q-tip. Have you ever tried a non-Q-tip Q-tip?
Never.
It's not good. You'll never go back. You try some generic shit, you're like, what the fuck?
It's like Advil. I love Advil. I feel like they make the best ibuprofen.
They could.
I don't think ibuprofen is like as good as Advil.
Fair enough.
Generics are not always better. Sometimes they're cheaper. But I feel like there's been a run on toilet paper and stuff. The water makes no sense because you got water coming out of your faucet. Why can you not drink that?
Right.
What is it somehow magically going to be contaminated?
Yeah. It might. Everything's going to be contaminated. Don't believe the hype. It'll all work out.
Yes.
So let's talk UFC 248. So we have some prediction results.
Uh-oh. I feel like I did poorly.
You were 6-4.
Oh, not bad.
You're respectable.
Yeah.
I was 9-1.
Damn.
The Magic 8-Ball is 6-4. Thank you.
I believe a golf clap is in order.
Thanks.
Or is it more like?
So you're still winning overall, though. So overall, it goes 28-15 for 65.1% correct.
Yeah.
I'm number 2 at 27-16 at 62.7%.
You're catching up fast, though. I told you by the springtime this will be a non.
I don't know. I just did one good one. The good thing is we're killing the Magic 8 Ball. The Magic 8 Ball is 23-20 at 53.5% correct.
Ah,
so
okay.
It's always good to see that we're smarter than a monkey and or Magic 8 Ball. I feel like it should make an appearance again. It's over there.
Over there
I don't feel like getting up. But how about Bruce Buffer? Is he the amateur hypnotist?
Ah, with his fancy suit.
Yeah, you sent me that. Can I get two nipples for a dime?
It's fancy, like, it's like all Alfred Hitchcocky. Like,
I feel like he's under a lot of pressure. Like, if you're doing a show every week, I think maybe he's worn a jacket twice, but he's pretty much got to get a new jacket every week.
How does he do that?
He must have a fucking tailor in Vegas, right? Like, I'm going to need X amount of suits. And then he does special ones, too, where he has shit stitched into the lining, depending upon how special it is. Whoa. So I think he did that for maybe UFC 100, maybe a Conor McGregor fight.
Okay.
It's not a
Where do these jackets habit. Go when he's done?
Maybe he donates them, because I know he used to put his ring card notes up for auction on eBay, and I think he donated that to charity. But that guy is so self-centered, he might just be pocketing that money and saying that.
Hookers and
I'm just saying. If you've read his book, you know what I'm talking
Very
about.
Very self-centered individual.
Yeah.
He likes to look good.
Yeah.
It's time!
Oh, and here's the question. How long is he going to keep doing this shtick?
I think he's got 3 years.
It's like him and Dana White and Joe Rogan. Who's going to bow out first? Probably Rogan, right?
Rogan, I would say, yeah.
Bruce is probably going to go until he can't go.
But Rogan is still having fun, judging by his sideline reaction, cage side.
Yeah, I feel like his commentary is slipping.
It's not the greatest.
It's too much hyperbole, and
yeah,
I think maybe that comes with, and then too much digressing or stepping back to let the fighter step over him, which I gotta understand. They're in there. They have the experience, but...
Yeah.
I still like him in DC, but we gotta get over the hyperbole. This is not always the best fight you've ever seen.
Greatest fight! This might be the greatest fight I've ever seen in my whole life. These are the two greatest champions ever.
Every time.
Every time.
We're talking about like guys that aren't even ranked.
Yes.
This guy's got the best jiu-jitsu in the world.
True.
So with all the fights that we saw on the main card, where would you like to start?
Well,
you
want to
start positive or negative?
I'm going to start positive. I'm going to mention Sean O'Malley, who had a fantastic performance to lead into the main card on the undercard. TKO head kick. I mean, he railroaded Jose Quinones and looking very sharp. I feel like was it a 2-year layoff?
2-year layoff for like some bullshit tainted supplements, not once but twice that they tagged him on, and somehow he's got to ride the sidelines for 2 years. But yeah, credit that guy. You couldn't have a more perfect fight coming back and
seen later
flawless.
in the crowd in the main card smoking weed and eating pizza.
That's what he said he was gonna do. He said, okay. After I win,
I'm high and I'm eating.
Catch Ray, what are you doing? I'm catching rays and begging chicks.
That's right.
Getting high and eating pizzas.
I like
Good
it.
For him.
I haven't had pizza in a while. I need to have some pizza.
Good thing. Yeah. I try to have it once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Not a whole pizza. Half a pizza. Mine are
days?
Small. Yeah.
Yes. And well, then, we can stay positive if you like.
Yeah, let's go positive first. So let's go to co-main event and talk about Zhang Weili, or however you want to pronounce her last name, versus Joanna and Jacek. So, what can I say about this fight is that they beat the fuck out of each other for 5 rounds.
Yes.
It was coming and going and coming and going.
Extremely razor sharp close fight, I thought. I know that Joanna had a big fucking, like,
hematoma
thing going on her forehead.
We'll post pictures.
But Wang, not exactly, I'm sorry, Zhang. Not exactly unscathed. Also, not quite as inflamed, but looking.
No, pretty, not.
But looking. But
they both ate a lot of significant strikes.
They beat the shit out of each other. And I think it was extreme. I would almost say, to me, it could have been a draw. It was so close.
I had it for Zhang.
I don't know. I thought Joanna did all right.
I thought Joanna was going to get knocked out in the first round. And I think, when I look at the performances, she probably impressed me the most with how she performed in this fight. Because I thought she was getting knocked out, but she was right in there with it. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that maybe Zhang, you know, this is the first real step up in competition as far as, like, striking-wise.
Big stage, 5-round fight.
And Joanna brought it. And my critique of Zhang is, why didn't she throw any fucking uppercuts? Like, Joanna is ducking down the entire fight, and that's why it's like you're getting this head, the forehead punches. And I think that all happened from an incidental headbutt at some point. Or it could have just been Joanna hematomas up, because someone posted a picture of all her other fights, and pretty much she gets a hematoma after every single fight.
Oh, damn.
To some extent. Obviously more brutal in this last one, but she's a little susceptible to that. And I think you got to thank Vegas, or thank that this happened in Vegas, because imagine if this happened in New York.
They would have stopped it.
Yeah. As soon as that swelled a little bit, stop the fight, stop the fight. So luckily it was in Vegas, and they just said, you know what, She'll be all right.
She doesn't have a lot of fat on her head, so it's like, I think it's worse. It shows up worse than it seems. And I don't know. Like, I feel like you got to let him fight. If there's no, you know, she was okay.
Yeah, but she said it hurt, and she felt all the
like
punches.
The third round or whatever started to bother her quite a bit, but she trucked through it. And I felt the ladies put on a show. I think we have a contender here for Fight of the Year already in these two.
And is this the greatest women's MMA fight that you've ever seen?
I think it may be. I'm struggling to remember anything greater than this.
Because I think it is because we had parity, right? It's like each person has their, you know, round one or their strikes landed. And typically in a women's fight, it's
one-sided.
It's fucking all one way or all the other way.
Yeah, I'm remembering Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate. Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm, those two were both.
Well, the Rousey Holm one was finished relatively quick, maybe round two.
Yeah.
With a fucking head kick KO.
Yeah, but it was exciting as well. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what else was that exciting.
But then I don't know how much drama this carried. And look at how the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? And when it finished, there was that debate of like, who actually won this. These two just beat the fuck out of each other. And you're like, wow, that was impressive.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Solid effort. Maybe the greatest women's fight ever.
Yeah. And they said this was the third most significant strikes landed in a single fight in UFC history.
Oh.
With 351. Number two on that list was Poirier versus Holloway at 359. And then number one was Holloway versus Ortega with 400.
Whoa.
Yeah. So nine strikes away from almost being number two. But god damn. Because not a lot of head movement.
No.
It was just, let's just beat the fuck out of each other. And yes. I appreciate that. Those are the kind of fights we
last
love.
Last woman standing.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Ortega, can we talk about what happened in the crowd for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Apparently he beat the shit out or smacked up some Korean pop star who was a translator.
For Korean Zombie.
For Korean Zombie and said some shit.
It was just a slap.
And he slapped him, but the whole thing, I don't know. I didn't see any actual video of it. I saw the aftermath.
I saw a little bit, but you could hear a slap, but it was off camera, and then they panned to it, and you see Ortega basically saying, that's why you got the slap. And then Ortega went on Instagram and posted some shit about, I slapped three people that night. One was this, one was that, and I'm sorry for the first one, I'm sorry for the second one, but I'm not sorry for the last one.
Okay, which was the park guy?
But I think all three were the same guy.
Oh.
He was just saying. But, you know, it's weird. Because I think they were saying that Korean Zombie went to the bathroom and that's when Ortega decided to slap this guy. Whatever. There was a lot of chaos in the stands. Because then, I think even after the main event, Paulo Costa was getting out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dana White said security had to grab him and take him backstage. Because he was getting too fucking lippy. So I'm like, you got all these fighters in this pit. Like, maybe need to keep them a little separated or have a little handler or put them on fucking leashes. I don't give a shit. Or little individual cages.
Give them some carbs to
take it down on that or some weed.
Not protein.
Something.
Give them some ice cream cone, ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say about the Ortega thing because it's kind of out of character because he's trying to be the nice guy and
I don't know. Must be. It's a personal thing. Maybe he's just high and drunk or something, and he's just like, I'm gonna smack this.
Going off the rails.
Fucking guy around a little bit.
Yeah, because obviously now that's the fight. Dana said we're gonna make the fucking Ortega Korean Zombie fight because they got beef.
Maybe it's all an act.
Could be a setup too. You never know.
Like, why don't you smack my boy up and then we'll have something to fight about? It'd be fun.
That's right.
All right. So can we talk about the not so fun fight now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Whatever you want.
Adesanya versus Romero. So, all right. This had a lot of hype behind it. Adesanya talking a lot of shit, talking about I'm going to fight Romero. Romero, you know, being the world beater he is. And the two of them get together in the first round, and nothing happened for like 3 minutes.
Romero just stood there for a good 2.5-3 minutes.
Employing the BJ Penn approach.
Right. Like, I'm standing right here. Come get me. Come get me.
Are you going to do something or not?
Yeah. It was to this point. You know how many strikes Romero threw in the first round? double that.
Six?
Six.
Oh.
Threw six strikes, and Adesanya threw 11.
Yeah, it's like they threw as many strikes in five rounds as some fights happen in one round.
Yeah, I don't know what the history is, but I almost want to say that's probably the least amount of strikes thrown and landed in a five-round title fight that went to decision, because good God, man. And for me personally, and I don't want to speak in hyperboles, but that may be one of the worst fights I've ever seen.
I think it's up there
with Anderson Silva, Damian Maia, as far as like a title
Caleb
fight.
Starnes versus... what the fuck is...
Nate Quarry,
yep.
But I feel the ref is partially to blame, because he didn't say shit until the beginning of round three, telling them, hey, guys, this is a title fight. People paid money to come see this. You guys got to start fucking fighting. He needs to get in there and be more active and tell them while the fight's happening in the first round and stop the fight, take a timeout and go, listen, I'm going to start taking fucking points off if you guys don't start engaging.
Yeah.
Because round one was bullshit, round two was bullshit, and then he does that at the beginning of round three. It's like as the fight went on, more strikes were getting thrown. But what the fuck is Romero doing? Because I put 100% of the blame on Romero, because I understand what Adesanya is saying. He's like, I'm not going to come in recklessly to come after this guy that doesn't want to fight. Like, yeah. Why am I going to put my title on the line and take all the risk when this guy is just going to stand here?
Oh, well, I'm surprised you'd
say
that.
I understand that. Because he did what he needed to do to get the win. And if you want to think about how many people have come out unscathed in a Yoel Romero fight.
None.
And that Adesanya, he's the only one. Yeah. So in that case, he fought smart. Was it appeasing to the fans? Fuck no. Nobody liked that. But, I mean, do I give him any of the blame? Maybe a little. But I think it's 90%, I'll go percentage, 90% Romero, 10% Adesanya.
Okay.
Because
I'm surprised you say that. I feel like they both played a part.
Well, how do you fight someone that doesn't want to fight? I mean, it wasn't as bad as, you know, Nate Quarry running after Caleb Starnes, because Caleb didn't want to fight him. He's trying to run after him and catch him, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't catch the guy. What do you want me to do? And the ref's got to take some of the blame, too, for not taking a point.
Yeah.
Take a point from anybody. I don't give a fuck. Or get some cattle prods in there. Yeah. We need, if there's no action, you need to make action. Or this is where the cage just starts shrinking. You know what? There's no action. The cage just went half size.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, you have the classic counter striker versus somebody who realizes that and doesn't want to do anything.
Right.
They're going to try to make them come to him, you know? But it makes for a very boring fight to watch. There wasn't a lot of action. And we're coming off the tail end of that Joanna versus Zhang fight, right? So you kind of had that going on. So, I don't know. It was a chess match, and it was interesting for a minute, and then you're like, okay, but 25 minutes of this? Really? I mean, you guys, somebody needs to do something. And at the end of the fight, the one thing I noticed is neither fighter, other than sweating, looked like they had been in a fight. So what does that tell you?
They didn't do anything. The stats, Adesanya threw 132 strikes, landed 48. Romero threw 89 and landed 40.
That's crazy.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm going to throw almost 20 around?
Not much.
Four every minute? Fucking sad. Go fuck yourself with that. If I'm Dana White, I am firing Yoel Romero. This is what I said after Damian Maia fought Anderson Silva. I'm fucking firing Anderson Silva for that shit. But get the guy the fuck out of there. You're 42. You're never going to get another fucking title shot. You barely make weight. Go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. I have no respect for this fight.
Yeah. He didn't even try to do takedowns or anything.
No. He only, like, dropped to a knee every once in a while. Well, what are you going to do? Do something with it. You were giving the opportunity. Adesanya didn't have to take this fight. He could have sat out and waited for Costa.
Yeah.
He gave you the opportunity, and you did nothing. You got, I think, was made $500,000 to just fucking go out there and do not a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. I'm done.
And that's the fight that makes sense, though. Him and Costa, Adesanya and Costa. Costa can rest up. Makes a lot of sense. He's got his fucking shooter leopard print shirt on.
Whatever that is.
I don't know what that was he was wearing, but that's what makes sense. And Romero, Who knows?
Go to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. Yeah. I'm done. Like, you can't put that kind of performance on, especially, like, this is supposed to be the card, right? Luckily, that women's fight saved the card.
Oh, it did.
Could you imagine if that was shit, too? Like, oh, that's shit, and then you get to the main event, and then we finish at 12:30? Come on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, for all that nonsense.
Come on. It's fucked. For 64.99 plus tax, go fuck yourself. I'm not happy with that.
I agree,
man.
I
don't think anybody is, right?
No.
And then I just want to mention that Dariush versus Close Fight, new contender for worst tattoo ever in the history of MMA. I'm just going to get a picture of Michigan put on my titty ball with Close. Remember that? Like, wow, he must really like Michigan. But
he's from the Michigans.
Yes. I would hope so if he got the tattoo, or he just really likes that state
likes
for some unknown
there.
Reason. He likes rivalries. Michigan State, right?
Sure.
So, first round, Dariush is all over his back, almost gets a rear naked choke. Second round comes out, Dariush gets rocked, and he's like, you know what? I think we're going to just stand and bang. There's this fucking exchange of just boom, boom, boom. He's rocked, and he comes back, clocks close, and then his leg just kind of goes out a little bit and then goes back. And then he just comes in with this thunderous left hand. Mouthpiece pops out, eyes roll back, man drops to the ground, and then Dariush walks off the KO like a fucking champ, Mark Hunt.
It's pretty solid.
It was awesome.
I liked it.
And then the reaction, I liked the reaction of Rogan, DC, and Anik, and, you know, we saw that.
Like,
all, like, losing their shit on the side.
Yep.
And then Dariush... Rogan puts him on the mic and he says, hey, I want to call someone out. Robert Whittaker, if I ever become a father, and I hope it's soon, I want to be a dad like you. What kind of call out is that? Is he calling him out to be a father? Is he calling him out because he wants to fight? I'm very confused with what the fuck's going on. I suspect you as a father.
I
hope to be
you.
One soon.
I will own your shit.
Right.
I will be your kid's daddy.
Right. Oh, is that what it is? He wants to fuck his wife? Is this the kind of talk we're throwing down here?
Maybe.
That's some fight words. Maybe some fights. You have anything else for the card?
Nothing.
I don't have anything else. I'm going to take a sip. I want to talk about the card this weekend.
Okay. What's happening this weekend, man?
It's a really good fucking card for UFC Brazil.
Brazil!
The main event is Kevin Lee versus Charles Oliveira. You have Damian Maia, Gilbert Burns, Johnny Walker fighting Nikita Krylov. You have McDessie fighting Ronaldo. And then there's some other smaller fights. But, you know, Kevin Lee is coming off of that head kick KO over Gregor Gillespie. Remember that one where he fucking flatlined him a la Ridge Franklin, Nate Quarry?
Mm-hmm.
Just deaded him. And he's been training at TriStar, and then Oliveira... with all his fucking submissions.
Millions.
I really like that. And then Maia, probably one of his last fights.
Yeah.
And he's still, I think, lobbying for that Diego Sanchez fight. I don't know if we should make that now.
No, we should not.
With his fucking Svengali coach.
Well, you know, that might be okay for Diego, since he's not at risk of getting KO'd, probably.
Yeah. I mean, Damian would treat him nicely.
You would put him to sleep softly. I love you.
I kill you softly,
like,
my friend.
I'm going to make a good night. Say good night to everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
We can have dinner later.
Sure. Do you got anything you want to throw?
Not really.
Okay.
Nothing exciting.
I'll keep going then. So I saw Paulo Costa was sparring with Logan Paul.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. We can kind of watch a little of this.
What the
and
hell?
And people are saying that's fake, but that looked kind of legit to me.
Wait a second. He knocked out Logan Paul?
Well, he hit him really fucking hard. But, one, why are those two fucking around? Why are they fucking around in the Zuffa boxing ring?
Uh-huh.
And why are you... Why would you even fucking spar with Costa? And why would you let Costa go, whatever? That's probably not even 100%, but to me, that looked like a solid shot. And he looks fucking dazed, but...
And why put that on the internet?
Right. I don't get this.
It's marketing.
Yeah.
Marketing hyping. The marketing machine.
Hit there. I don't give a
to
fuck
make the guy look saying. Invincible. But the Paulo Costa is so sexy and so strong.
And crazy. He looked like all of 230 right there. Yeah, I don't know how the guy's making 185.
His knees holding up.
He looked like he was moving all right.
Okay.
But I wonder if that's the kind of that shit Zuffa Boxing is going to be. Like the Logan Paul. He wants to box like a Dylan Danis or whoever. Or do you do YouTube personalities versus UFC fighters? Do you do boxers versus UFC? I mean, the sky's the limit, I guess, right?
For sure.
You can do whatever.
You do whatever you want. You are the Zuffa. You can do anything.
Do they do them on the same night they do UFC?
Yeah, it could be the lead-in.
Like the undercard is his boxing shit?
Yeah.
And then Bellator did that. They did those combos.
Like ooh, it could work.
Kickboxing and then MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Some new fights announced, so there's some crazy shit coming. So Brett Okamoto said the UFC is rebooking last week's controversial bout between Ion Cutelaba and Ankalev to UFC 249 in April in Brooklyn, and that was that fight where the guys.
Oh, right.
They stopped it early, so they're going to redo that. This next one. I just look at it and go, oh my God, why are we doing this? So, we're going to do Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer for the 145-pound title at UFC 250. So, not only are they giving Felicia more than she can handle, but they're also going to put the fight in Brazil.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Setting her up for failure.
Yeah. The worst kind of
fight. I don't know what this voice is I do.
Hell no, that's great. This way, you can get the next one. So, Fabio Maldonado is thinking about retiring. So, right now, he's negotiating with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
To fight the Fedor?
Maybe, again. And he won that fight, and they clearly gave it to Fedor.
Yes, they did. What the hell is going on?
You're clearly in Russia. So that totally makes sense,
right?
Okay. Sure. Fuck, man.
What is this world coming to?
I don't know. It's not good, is
it? I'm going to infect you with coronavirus now. Are you ready?
Where are you going to give it to me? Well, that's what I'm joking. Like, we're watching the fights. I'm like, why can't some of the fighters just start coughing on the other ones?
Yes.
Or bleeding on them, a la Brad Pitt in Fight Club. When he tackles the guy and he's got blood all over him. He's bleeding all over him. Like, bleh! I don't know. I feel like I should do
that.
Should
we watch that movie? I haven't seen it in a while.
Tweet of the week. This is Twit Heart says, I can't help it. Oh, picture of Gerard Faber with a
that's
guy
fantastic.
With a plumber's crack.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
Must be the Hydrocoil.
Yeah.
And what's the next follow up? And then Clay from Uncle Joey MMA says, rest up, champ. There's an article that says Deontay Wilder is in hospital after trying on Canada Goose coat.
I love it. Too heavy for him, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Those goose coats down, and get heavy.
I don't have a coat that warm. I should probably get one.
No, I just have a Carhartt jacket.
Okay.
That's fleece or something. But it'll probably last me forever.
Does it work?
Okay. But I usually wear a fleece under it and then that one. And I have no issues. Rugged. Okay. I feel like I could do shit in that.
You're
I feel like
a man's man.
Lumberjacking if
all
I
right.
needed to.
Sweet.
And then let's do a little women pick of the week. I don't know. There's a couple. So Laura Sanko, who does a little UFC commentating, she was also there at that infamous Jorge Masvidal versus Leon Edwards.
Ah.
She was doing the interview when that shit happened. She's also a former Invicta fighter. So she posted this pic on her Twitter.
Good.
She's trying to defy gravity. I didn't know it was
possible.
That delicious.
That's a lot of booty in one picture.
Yep. And along the same lines, let's look at Kat Zingano hanging out in on the beach.
All right. I'm cooling on her, Matt. I've been cooling on her a while.
Oh, see, you don't like the real tits now.
It's not real. I'm just saying.
She's the one who got the titties.
She got the fake ones put in first. I don't know what's happening. I don't even know.
I don't know. I'm a big fan.
I can tell.
Been right along.
Sip. At a breakneck speed?
Yep.
I'm feeling frisky. You know.
Are you threatening me?
No. And not yet.
All right, great. I was like, cool. I don't know.
I started fasting at 4 o'clock today, and I've had this beer, and it's going right to my head.
Yeah, so I started at 5.
I'm a little loopy.
I go an hour later.
It's like right to my dome. Like,
it's like a fist. Like if you're going to put your fist in someone.
Fisting.
I don't know anything about
fisting
that.
Fisting's overrated.
I don't want to hear anything. La 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 la. No, I don't know. That's the nuts. Rigo Machado closing out. It's time. Pound sign, let's roll. Pound sign, Matt Rabe train. Pound sign. And goes through your day. I know. Sorry. Once again, I want to ask you guys some existential and philosophical questions.
Yes.
I'm almost on point. I'm getting a little clumped. Can spirituality make you a happy person?
Yes.
How?
Huh?
How does it make
because you develop a faith in something, and you develop something greater than yourself, and it brings you a sense of peace and belonging and calmness. It can also brainwash you and make you crazy.
No,
and maybe like give people weird shit to drink and kill them all. That can also do that.
So if I join a cult, am I being spiritual or just brainwashed and or both?
Probably both.
Hmm. I don't know.
Depends what you believe in. Do you believe in Jesus?
I believe in things. How's that?
Or like,
I believe in there's something higher above me that I don't quite understand.
Was that movie? Not Major League. I believe in the cock and the pussy. That's that movie. That's a famous baseball movie. What the fuck is it called? Bull Durham.
Oh, Jesus.
Remember that?
That's way old. Is that Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner.
And Tim Meadows and
yeah.
Susan Sarandon. Which was hot as fuck.
He was really hot in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it starts with, I believe in the cock and the pussy, and then there's more. I forgot. But those are the only
like
important.
Like wearing women's underwear?
Sure.
I don't know what that's about. Is being obsessive about someone or something a good thing? I would say only when you're stalking them.
Yes.
That's probably what is a good thing, right?
It can be a good thing.
I'm a mover. I think sometimes you should say less. Less is more.
True.
Are highly intelligent people less happy than individuals with average intelligence?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would say yeah.
I gotta be careful with how I word this. I've seen less intelligent people really happy at a hockey game getting an ice cream sandwich. I told this story.
You told this story.
I've seen someone on the spectrum order an ice cream sandwich from a vendor at a hockey game, and they were 30 feet apart, and he dials it up, and the guy, I'm like, oh no, don't throw him the ice cream sandwich. He throws him the ice cream sandwich right in the face, into his lap, gave no fucks, so happy. He didn't care, it hit him in the head. He just cared he got his ice cream sandwich. He was so fucking happy.
Life is good, man.
And you know what? That made me feel happy because I wished I could be that happy. Because if I got hit in the head with an ice cream sandwich, I'd be, motherfucker, throw your shit right, man. Get your shit together. Hands are here. Head is here.
Who are you talking to right now?
Whoever wants to listen. I'm just making sure I'm talking to everybody in the room. There's a lot of people here.
Wow. Hear his voices, I think.
Sometimes. And then MMA Nuts Show, it's back. Season number 2, episode 1, Wild Hunt, part number 1. There you go, Ingo.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right,
that's
sweet.
All you.
Switch it up. The episode starts in the middle of the night in the woods.
Okay.
A shadow of a creature is running from a pair of boots that can only be seen in camera. Suddenly, it's revealed that the creature is a werewolf as it jumps from the bushes. Coming out from the bushes is Matt. He is sporting a black, epic beard with a Viking hair and a scar across his left eye. Hmm. He carries a huge great axe, almost the size of him.
Holy fuck.
Imbued with electricity.
Warcraft.
And thanks to his incredibly inhuman strength, he's wearing a black leather armor
with a symbol of white wolf head in the middle. On the other side is Ingo. He is sporting a clean shave with a red bandana in his head. He carries a bastard sword that lights itself on fire, and my other hand starts producing fire like a flamethrower. He was able to arrive first, thanks to his inhuman speed. He's wearing brown leather armor with a symbol of a red dragon head in the middle. Ingo asks Matt, "Is this the hunt?" Matt replies, "Yeah, same shit, different day." As Matt with one swing cuts the werewolf in half, and then Ingo burns the rest with fire.
Yeah, with your flamethrower.
Flamethrower, all right.
Once upon a time, Hollywood.
You guys return to your new home in the Witcher world, let's call it Nazagoth, and after getting the bounty for killing the werewolf, you guys head back to your guy's home, where Triss Marigold is waiting for Ingo and Yennefer. Who's Yennefer?
Triss is the redhead.
Ooh, I like redheads.
You get the redhead.
That's fun reading it. I like it.
And Yennefer Vennerberg is waiting for Matt. You guys spend the rest of the night drinking some good beer. Don't worry, Matt. You can eat gluten in my world. Oh, thank you, good sir. I don't know what that's about. I just want a big-ass deep-dish pizza. And bed your woman in there before the new day arrives. Continue.
Whoa.
Holy fuck. I'm flabbergasted right now.
I don't know what to say. I mean, the continuance is we're going to spend a few days betting our women. I mean, obviously.
Hello. And then there may be some swapping of said women.
Whoa.
Like, hey, you get this one now, and I'll take that one.
I'm going to have to ixnay that.
Okay, then I get all the women, you get nothing.
I can take one that's all my own, and you can have all the rest. That's fine. I don't need
that. What kind of friend are you?
I'm just saying. I don't want to be, what do you call that, Eskimo twin?
You don't want to be Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta? What the hell? What kind of friend is this guy?
Yeah.
That's fine. Mary Kill, Sonoma Edition number 81, Adult Adventures number 17.
Sweet.
Abby Cross.
Da, 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 da. Oh, good lord. That's nice.
Capri Cavani.
That's okay. Not as good as the first
one. And Lola Fox.
Whoa. What is happening? All right. I'm killing the one in the middle for sure. I'm probably going to marry the first one and bang the second.
Okay.
The third. I'm sorry. That is nice.
Gonna,
she's got like that look to her where she can make a sandwich.
But not even without the D. It's just a sandwich.
Sandwich.
Yeah. I'll bang that one. I'm actually going to mix things up and marry the second one.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's usually not my speed.
It's a little skinny for you there.
Yep. And then I'm going to kill the third one.
Why? What do you got against that booty?
I don't have anything against it. Sometimes things hit too close to home. You got to kill them.
All right.
You got to kill what's closest to you.
All right. Fine.
Knowledge, what do you got?
I started watching a show on Netflix called Sex Education.
Pretty, right up your alley?
Right up my alley. Pretty exciting show. I liked it. It's a British show. And it's pretty fucking weird and funny and goofy. I highly recommend it. It has, what the hell is her name? From the X-Files. Gillian Anderson. I had a huge crush on her when I was younger.
Whatever the X-Files song is.
Yeah. I was like, David damn. Company. She's looking better than ever. She's got that old MILFiness.
Nice.
Like,
how old would you say she is?
48.
Late 40s, early 50? Okay,
yeah.
Great. In my wheelhouse?
She's in our wheelhouse, Matt. Definitely would bang.
Okay. Yes. Fair enough.
Would bang.
Yes. Yes. You are correct, sir.
Yes. What do you got?
So my knowledge, Kate Quigley posted this. She says, surviving the coronavirus. Sex positions. This one is incorrect. Missionary, incorrect because she could cough in your face. The correct position is doggy style. It's face down, ass up, so that when the lady coughs, it's away. When you cough on the back of her head, and that's her problem.
So you cannot contract it from inserting your penis into said vagina?
No, never.
Wow. And we can say penis and vagina because it's
anatomically those correct. Were the stats I was talking about earlier. I don't know if I want to fucking say all that.
Oh, 46 million flu cases and 45,000 deaths.
That's like last year.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
And only 500 cases of coronavirus and like 19 deaths.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just need to fuck face down, ass up. That's the way we like to fuck the ass down. What? Where is Two Live Crew when you need them? I think they can fix coronavirus.
They probably could.
I think it's all overrated. Don't
believe Let's just fly to China and contract coronavirus.
It's like a quarter of the price. Oh, to China? Yeah. That may be 1/100th of the price, right? It may be free. Just
like,
come on
in. You want to go to China? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Will they even let you fly to China from the U.S.? Probably not.
You probably got to Cuba to China.
It's like a one-way ticket.
Yeah. You probably got to go to Cuba.
No round trip.
No. It's a one-way, and it's probably a no-go. No-go.
Yeah. I'm going to skip that.
I wouldn't fear it.
It's all good.
Don't fear it. It'll all work out.
Until we both contract it and die of face AIDS.
Contract AIDS or coronavirus?
Coronavirus.
Of course. It's less fatal than the flu.
Yes. That has been this week's edition, blah, blah.
What? You got all the AIDS.
Wow.
Only in your mouth.
In my mouth. Mouth AIDS. That has been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. My name is Ingo Weigel.
Matt Griffith. Thanks for playing.
It's a mouthful.